The U.S. Supreme Court today steps back into the battles over U.S. policy in Latin America that divided the nation in the 1980s and 90s. That was a time when some American citizens and members of Congress found themselves at odds with the executive branch, saying the government had ignored torture and killing by its allies. Returning to these issues now, the court takes on a case with repercussions for the current war on terror. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The case of Jennifer Harbury versus top U.S. government officials reads like the script for a film noir. Harbury is a Harvard-trained lawyer from Texas who in the 1980s represented Guatemalan refugees fleeing that country's civil war. In 1984, on a trip to Guatemala, she traveled to the jungle and met one of the leaders of the Marxist guerrillas, a man named Efrain Bamaca Velasquez. The two fell in love and married. In 1992, the Guatemalan government reported that Bamaca had been wounded in combat and had committed suicide to avoid capture. But a year later, one of his compatriots escaped from a Guatemalan prison and told Harbury he had seen her husband in prison and alive, being horribly tortured. Harbury went to the State Department for help.
I was simply told that they did not know what had happened, that they would try to find out, that they would try to assist me, and so on and so forth.
In fact, by that time, documents now show the State Department had received two bulletins from the CIA saying that Bamaca had been captured alive, that the Army would likely fake his death and torture him to get information. Later investigation by a presidentially appointed board found that a Guatemalan Army officer involved in the torture was on the CIA payroll. And, says Harbury, not only was the U.S. government not telling her what it knew, it wasn't telling Congress either.
The form letter for 2 years that went out said, we have no independent information about the fate of Mr. Bamaca, which of course was simply not true. They had a number of documents about him.
Nothing that Harbury did produced information. She went on two highly publicized hunger strikes in Guatemala, got an exhumation order for the body that was supposed to be her husband's. It wasn't. And she was the focus of a report on 60 Minutes. Finally, when she concluded she was being deceived by the U.S. government, she went on a hunger strike in front of the White House. In 1995, then-Congressman, now-Senator Robert Torricelli revealed that he had received information from sources inside the U.S. government confirming that Bamaca was executed on orders from a Guatemalan colonel who was on the CIA payroll. President Clinton then ordered an investigation by the Intelligence Oversight Board, which concluded that the colonel had participated in Bamaca's interrogation and probably his torture. Though the board said there was no proof that the CIA knew of his role, two CIA officers were fired. By then, Jennifer Harbury was suing the Secretary of State, the people she'd talked to in the U.S. government about her husband's case, including the National Security Advisor, the ambassador to Guatemala, and other high-ranking State Department officials. All of her claims were tossed out on various grounds, all but one. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, in a rare display of agreement between liberals and conservatives, ruled that Harbury had the right to try to prove in court that government officials had actively deceived her to protect themselves from a lawsuit. If, in fact, the officials did that, and she could prove it, the lower court said, those officials would have no right to their usual immunity from lawsuits. Such immunity was, the court said, never meant to aid in a cover-up. In the Supreme Court today, Richard Cordray, representing the former government officials, will tell the justices that his clients did not mislead Harbury.
They promised to look into the matter, but never got back to her. In August of 93, she contacted the ambassador to Guatemala, who also said she would look into the matter and keep her informed, but didn't provide her with any information.
Harbury was not mistreated in any way, he says.
She had better treatment than most anyone would have had. She was able to meet repeatedly with high-ranking officials who were looking into the matter, were trying to help her.
Nobody at the State Department interfered with her access to the courts, he says. But Harbury counters that because of official deceptions, she didn't know that her husband was alive, in custody, and being tortured. Had she known then what the State Department knew, she says, she would have gone to court to force the CIA to stop using U.S. taxpayer money to fund the torture of her husband in violation of U.S. law. But the Clinton administration officials she's suing, backed by the Bush administration, counter that there would be no grounds for such a lawsuit anyway, and that it could not have possibly done what Harbury wanted, save her husband's life. Moreover, they say there's no constitutional right to candor from U.S. government officials. Again, Richard Cordray, the lawyer for the former officials.
It's very important that officials at the highest levels of the government have latitude to deal with these situations, because if they are obliged to provide information and it has to be accurate, it can endanger the lives of our military, it can endanger the success of our intelligence gathering around the world.
The government did not, at the earlier stage of this case, claim that it was acting on the basis of national security. Now, at the Supreme Court level and post 9/11, it does.
This clearly does involve national security matters. This involves our government's posture toward a civil war in Guatemala and what people knew and when they knew it and what we had any involvement in are matters of highest sensitivity. And that's no less true in Guatemala than it is in Afghanistan.
Harbury counters by noting that the President's Intelligence Advisory Board, after its investigation in 1996, concluded that the State Department should have produced information about her husband when she asked for it.
That information does not constitute sensitive state secrets or national security matters.
Government officials, she says, are always free to refuse to comment on inquiries like hers, but they are not free to mislead. And she says that what the government and its former employees are asking for in this case is a license to lie.
I think we have to feel safe in our day-to-day activities that the government is not allowed to lie to us, especially if it's to block our ability to save someone's life by going through the courts of law themselves.
But lawyer Cordray, on behalf of the former officials, says it would be very dangerous to make such a rule into a constitutional right, and he raises the specter of September 11th.
I think that you have to look at what effect a decision in this case will have on future operations in the current environment where we are defending a war on terrorism, where we are actively seeking information that is not available to the public, and the notion that the public is required to have full and copious information about all of those kinds of activities is something that does seem like a very strange claim in the wake of September 11th.
Harbury doesn't shy away from the problems September 11th poses for her case, but she urges a careful analysis of them.
For example, the fine line between purchasing information from an unsavory character and actually hiring an unsavory character to go into a torture cell and obtain information. I think we also have to look very, very carefully at the lines between bona fide efforts to secure the safety of American citizens and agencies that have had a tendency, certainly in the past, to become rogue agencies operating under their own political agenda.
When Harbury began her legal crusade in 1996, nobody could have imagined her case would be heard in the aftermath of a terrorist nightmare for this country. Nonetheless, she will be arguing the case herself today. She knows the questioning may be hostile and intense, but she seems, perhaps foolishly, confident.
I've had to keep my cool in Guatemala, for example, arguing this case in Spanish after 30 days with no food at gunpoint to the Guatemalan Supreme Court. I don't think the conditions in Washington will be quite that severe.
A decision in the Harbury case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.